was almost 100 years ago, Charles Blair MacDonald went to school in Scotland, got his first glimpse of golf through the window of a train. As the train passed four holes of the storied St. Andrew's course, young MacDonald thought the game silly, an outdoor game of tiddlywinks, he called it. And yet Charlie soon got hooked on the game, became a player, then a champion, a rules expert, a golf architect, an author, and a vigorous protector of the game's traditions. His initial disdain for the game is understandable, however, when you examine its beginnings. The more deliberate look at golf, the way it was, makes one wonder why anybody would play with primitive tools and illogical rules and no fairways and no tees and no greens. Penalty for a lost ball depended on which course you were playing, how effective you were as a debater, since most disputes were settled by on-the-spot arbitration. If your ball came to rest in the recent waste of one of the sheep that used to keep the grass cut, you either got a free lift or had to play it wherever it would lie. That was open to debate. First balls were stuffed with feathers and covered with leather. There were 28 manufacturers of golf balls. A single skilled workman could make as many as four a day. It involved stuffing a top hat full of boiled feathers into a casing of leather, then sewing the leather together with twine. The ball was then pounded round and given three coats of paint, and that was the ball with which golfers played golf for 400 years. The first tees were a pinch of wet sand, and the golf clubs were something else. There were two putters, a driving putter and a greens putter. All shafts were wood, hickory, ash, or hedge thorn. The long-nosed wood club heads were individually handcrafted with curving faces, and on the back a hole was bored into which lead was poured. On the leading edge of the sole, a piece of horn was glued. Grips were leather and large. As the wood clubs evolved into iron and brass, each was hand-forged by a blacksmith, were often made concave in the hitting area. Evolution of the golf ball led from feather stuffing to gutta-percha rubber balls, hard as walnuts, called gutties. It's understandable if in the days of Blair MacDonald's introduction to golf, playing the ancient course at St. Andrews in 90 strokes was quite good enough for an open championship. When he left St. Andrews in 1874, MacDonald said goodbye, called it the dearest playground I have ever known. But who of us today, with our precision-manufactured golf balls and our customized equipment with balanced heads and exotic shafts, the flex of which is graduated for precise control, who of us would ever play golf if we had to play with such clumsy equipment and sand greens and unmowed fairways? You know, maybe Sam Snead. I mean it, Sam Snead, at this moment, is just 2 miles down Big Draft Road from the lawnscape manicured Greenbrier course in West Virginia, playing golf on the Oakhurst Links, unchanged since American golf began there in 1884. And he and the 400 club members, and you if you play there, will play with hickory sticks and gutty balls on fairways tended by sheep and on sand greens, and you will play in knickers and you'll wear a proper jacket, and you just might experience the dearest playground you have ever known.